The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Silvero Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. And if I sound like I'm in an especially good mood right now, it's because, look, I was traveling all last weekend. We did our show Thursday, Friday, all day Sunday from London. Long flight Monday. And for the only time until January, I get a two-day weekend. The Seahawks have... Actually, I'll have a couple more because they have some primetime games, Thursday and Monday night games. Oh, I'm in an even better mood right now. But you know what? That good mood will not quell the fire that burns inside of me to make you more informed and our region better. Let's get right to the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
The ballots for the November election are in the mail. You should receive yours if you didn't get it yesterday, today, or tomorrow. And what I think most people tend to do, you fall in one of two camps. You either receive it, open it up, fill it out right away, and then just get it over with. So you don't have to pay attention to those incessant ads the next 3 weeks. Or you let it sit in a stack somewhere and either forget about it and don't vote, or you realize on election day, 2 weeks from Tuesday, that you got to get it to an election drop box before 8 p.m. So here's what I want from my listeners, because you, of course, by virtue of listening to this show, you are the best informed of all the possible voters out there. Now, I don't mean to damn you with faint praise, because as you know, listening to the show, there are a lot of morons who vote around here, but not you. You listen to the Big Show. You want to stand up against all the insanity. And here's what I'm saying. I'm seeing families getting bled dry by what is literally the worst tax policy. We've now had two different studies that come out. Now, one of them just wants us to have an income tax, which will never happen in our state, and which I would be adamantly opposed to. Our state gets more money from us per capita, adjusted for inflation, by far than any time in our history. And the per capita. By the way, I always get the people on the left. He's like, that's because their population has grown. That's what per capita takes care of. Crying out loud. No, every single person in the state pays more than they've ever paid in history, adjusted for inflation. And I look at what's happened. I was talking to a friend this morning. You know, I grew up on the mean streets of Ballard, which were really pretty sweet, the streets. I told the story a couple days ago. My first date ever, when I was 13, we rode bicycles, left our bikes at the top of a hill, walked down to a beach, left our bikes there for about an hour and a half in Ballard. Nobody stole them. That would never happen today. We didn't prick our feet on any heroin needles walking down to that beach. It was quite bucolic. Now, because we have elected such horrible, horrible people to run the region, we have drugs everywhere. We're attracting drug criminals from all around the country. We've had Seattle has the worst property crime of any major city, meaning top 20 city, in the United States. Seattle's number one. I'll tell you later today, Kent and Tukwila are top 20 for car thefts in the entire country. Heroin's everywhere. Drugs are legal in King and Snohomish County. No wonder we're attracting all the criminals from around the country. And I was telling my friend, it breaks my heart. I look around and I see what's happened to our city. Gridlock everywhere. Families getting soaked by taxes. So here's what I've decided to open today's show. It is time to once again make Washington my home in my heart.
Wherever I may
And you know, as a longtime listener to this show, that there is only one way to make Washington great again. And that is to vote a straight Dory ticket. And so grab a notepad, pull out the notes on your phone, whatever you have to do. But I'll have them all posted on My Northwest. But it's time to get back to our senses here. So since the ballots are arriving, and usually I don't spend this much time on some like a midterm election, but this is a big deal. Fiscally, politically, this is a big deal here. So let me run through some of these so we can once again reclaim Washington is our home. Let's listen to a little more of this. Such a good mood today. I don't know the lyrics. Feel like this is something you'd hear in the Hall of Presidents at Disneyland. Okay, let's get to the endorsements. Crying out loud. Did you hear the one issue that we did yesterday that would, I mean, one of the big problems we have with crime is we have depolicing all around the region. Our cops are not being allowed to do their job. We've got the heads of departments, and not every department, but there's depolicing going on in a lot of jurisdictions. The criminals have taken over the streets. Cops aren't being allowed to do their job. Well, there is a very anti-cop initiative on this ballot, and that's 940. And I talked to the No campaign yesterday. We invited the Yes campaign to come on the show, but of course they didn't have the courage to do that. And this initiative, it says, well, the cops will have to have more mental health screening and de-escalation training. They already have de-escalation training. But I talked to Mike Solon, who's with the No campaign, and he said, look, this is just an anti-cop initiative that's based on cops are trigger happy. This is one of the stupider ballot measures that I've seen in a long, long time.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And it's very troubling. It's troubling that we're in this state in our society to have this kind of conversation. I can tell you that police officers are human beings. We're moms and dads. We're brothers and sisters. We're coaches. We're neighbors. We do not want to take anybody's life. In fact, we took an oath to preserve life. If this thing goes, we're already talking about mass exodus in the city of Seattle due to the lack of support.
Sure.
If this thing gets voted in, think about the ramifications of this. This isn't a threat. This would be reality.
Okay, so they say the cops will just, I mean, nobody's going to want to be a cop, which I agree with. There are a lot of departments, Seattle included, where they just cannot recruit enough officers. They cannot find people who want to be cops. And wait till you hear some of the details of what this initiative would do.
There will be an explosion of crisis as far as staffing, current recruiting, and retention, not only locally here, statewide. And look at what's happening nationwide. If this thing gets into law here, you're going to see that completely infect the entire nation and completely rewriting law enforcement, how we interact with the public. This is very sad. We are all for having a discussion regarding use of force, but this does not get it done.
So here is what this initiative would do. It would set up a citizens' commission that would have say in what they say is police accountability. Who would be on that citizens' commission? They say, we believe that race and bias factors are in police communities, in police responses. And so they would have people of color, people with disabilities, the LGBTQ community, Native Americans, immigrants, undocumented people, youth, and previously incarcerated people would be on a commission that would oversee cops in the state of Washington. So we would have illegals, children, and criminals on a commission that would oversee cops in our state. It's one of the most incredible things I've ever heard. It's one of the most ridiculous, and it's buried, and not enough people are talking about that. Do you think that it's fair and it's right to have criminals and illegals and children overseeing our police officers here in Washington? Because that's what's in this initiative. You vote no on Initiative 940. And then you have 1631, the one that would tax you and me billions of dollars, carbon tax, for zero planetary benefit. And I've gone over the numbers exhaustively, going to my archives at My Northwest, but I've shown how if they hit the targets in this initiative, it would reduce global emissions by 0.01%. In other words, it would do nothing for the planet, but it would cost you and me billions of dollars. And you got to remember that, as I've been telling you, the Cato Institute said that Jay Inslee is the worst governor in the United States when it comes to taxation and spending. By far. I mean, there's a huge gap between number 49 and Jay Inslee. I got the list right here. The top 16 governors in the country, by the way, on taxes and spending are all Republicans. At the bottom of the list, Jay Inslee, the top score was a 73 on a scale of 1 to 100 by the Cato Institute. And then you got a bunch of people in the 60s and the 50s. Then you get about the midpoint and you're bunch of guys in the 40s, men and women. Then you have a bunch in the 30s. Huge drop. Number 30 is the governor of Oregon, Kate Brown, number 49 with a score of 30. Huge drop from number 30 to number 23 ranking. Jay Inslee is 50th in the country when it comes to spending and taxation, according to the Cato Institute. They're based in Washington, D.C. They don't have any anti-Inslee or anti-Washington state bias. They just had a set of evaluation parameters for spending and taxation. And it's ironic that Jay Inslee is the worst in the country since he told you and me this on my show.
My plan is very specific. It does not propose or support tax increases in general taxes.
So why would we give billions of dollars to a governor who's rated the worst in the United States on taxes and spending for provably no planetary benefit, no global climate benefit at all, statistically, as I have proven to you? And that's the question that I wish more people would ask. You know, you just hear this, we have to do something. Climate change, we have to do something. Well, then do something. This is nothing. This does nothing for the planet, but it costs you and me. It's just a transfer of money from us to them, billions of dollars. So that's a no on 1631. I do have one yes vote. Oh, 1639 would require increased background checks, training age limitations for the delivery of semi-automatic assault rifles. It's interesting that we have a state constitution that is one of the strongest for personal freedoms and rights. We are an open carry state, but now they want to, through the initiative process, it would raise the buying age for guns from 18 to 21. So we're telling 18, 19, and 20-year-olds you can carry weapons in the military but not own them here in Washington state. That doesn't make any sense to me. There are an awful lot of kids. I talked to a 13-year-old girl in northeastern Washington, north of Spokane, a couple of weeks ago. She and her little 6-year-old brother were out practicing their calls in the woods because they hunt. And a cougar came up, and the girl shot the cougar with an arrow to save her brother's life. There are a lot of rural kids who go hunting with so-called assault rifles. And again, this is like a Seattle, very urban, liberal initiative that they want to impose on people in Colfax and everywhere else. And it makes no sense. And it would reclassify most of the popular self-defense and sporting guns in our state into assault weapons. It would reclassify them. So I'm no on 1639. 1634, that would prohibit the soda tax that we have in Seattle from spreading to any other food items. That is a yes for me. Anything that will restrict the ability of government to tax us, we should vote for. Anything that increases our taxes in general, we should vote against. It's a real simple principle. You know why? Because they have plenty of money. They already have plenty of money. They don't need more. So that should be the baseline for how you evaluate almost all of these things. Like in Seattle, they have a $6 million education levy. If you live in Seattle, your property taxes have gone up $1,000, $2,000 a year because of McCleary, for the schools, for the children. And this isn't about the schools or the kids. It's about districts that have given teachers an absolutely unsustainable pay increase. You know, 10%, 20%, 24%. And these districts, I told you this during all these negotiations, these districts have no way to pay for these massive pay hikes for the teachers more than a couple of years out. And so Seattle wants another property tax increase. They just went up 17% in Seattle because of the schools. This is to subsidize an unsustainable pay raise that the union got. And you got to say no. You got to say enough's enough. And then real quick here. Eighth District's a big one. Dino Rossi, Kim Schreier. I think Dino Rossi's an unexciting candidate. I really do. But he's much more fiscally sound and responsible. Kim Schreier is like the epitome of a Seattle liberal. She lives on the east side. But she's the epitome of a Seattle liberal who's supposed to represent Pierce County all the way to the Cascades, a lot of suburban and rural people. And when I look at this caravan of thousands and thousands of people marching from Guatemala to the U.S.-Mexican border in this manufactured, you know, caravan for political purposes right around our midterms, it's a reminder. We need tougher border security, and Kim Schreier is one of those open borders people. So, yeah, Rossi, he's not an exciting candidate, but I think Rossi's way more fiscally sound, and he would be tougher on the borders than Schreier. And then for governor, look, Maria Cantwell's going to beat Susan Hutchison. I watched the debate between the two of them. I thought Hutchison was stronger. But more importantly, Cantwell and Patty Murray, they've been senators forever. And I just believe in what Mark Twain said. Politicians and diapers must be changed often and for the same reason. So those are my election endorsements. We'll put them all up at My Northwest. But seriously, I know that everything I ever endorse ends up losing because I'm completely out of step with the region. Want to make Washington great again? You will take it upon your heart to vote a straight Dory ticket.
Washington.
We're going to check the news for you, and you're not going to believe the story of this out-of-control RV in West Seattle and what it did to a business and what it could have done to you and your family if you were driving down that street. Details straight ahead as we roll on here on the Dory Monson Show. That's a problem we've been spotlighting for so long now, and it remains just baffling that our city leaders have done absolutely nothing about the RVs that are littering the streets of Seattle, about the crime that takes place in most of those RVs. I told you exclusively a few weeks ago about an RV in the Ballard-Fremont neighborhood where they had a wooden board that was leaning against the RV that said, "Buy drugs here." Seattle police responded. The sign stayed up. I mean, the lawlessness is just unbelievable, and it's kind of understandable that some businesses are fed up with it. After what happened a couple of days ago in West Seattle, I certainly don't blame the West Seattle Health Club for being sick and tired of all of this. Dan Lehr is the vice president there and joins us here on Cairo Radio. Dan, good to talk to you. I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Happy to be here. Thanks, you. Thanks for having me.
Before we get into what happened a couple of days ago, I understand that long before this particular incident, you had been trying to get the city to do something about all of these RVs right around your business and in your neighborhood. Is that correct?
Yes. The problem's become really critical for the past year. And I've been, every week, I can't tell you how many hours I spend contacting the mayor's office, using the Find It, Fix It app, calling SPD, basically all the avenues that I've been told to use, I've used, and really to no avail. There, nothing really happens. Basically, the only thing that happens is SPD comes out. They're basically a glorified meter maid. They come and tag all the vehicles. They have 72 hours to leave. They do. They just go a block down the street.
Yeah.
And so the cycle begins. It's just a big shuffle.
So how bad is it? I mean, give me a descriptor. Paint a picture for my listeners what it's like with these RVs around there.
It's terrible. There's 8 to 10 that have been here on a real regular basis. And then there's probably another 5 or 6 that kind of come and go. What we've experienced in the past year is that the occupants of these RVs have become a lot more dangerous than in the past. They're doing drugs, selling drugs, breaking into vehicles parked in our garage area, confronting members, and have twice now lost control of their vehicles and damaged our property in July. One of them came through our parking lot. Thank God nobody was in the parking lot. It was before we were open, plowed through the parking lot, almost went into the stream. And then, of course, Wednesday night was real serious. Again, they were fleeing the scene of a crime and couldn't make a turn onto 28th, went through our building, ruptured a gas main, and as a result, we had a big fire, and we're looking at a little over $300,000 worth of damage right now.
And I want to dive into that a little bit deeper, but the one question, because I've been a business owner, I know how tough it is. And the question that I always ask, because I know our city leaders listen to my show, and eventually maybe we'll get some people in place who have some kind of empathy or even admiration for our business owners, our job creators, our taxpayers. What is it like for you when you put your blood, sweat, and tears into a business and you have a city that seems to have such contempt for you?
I am completely frustrated. I feel like we have no rights as business owners. I really feel that the people, causing all the problems in the RVs have more protection and rights than we do. And yet we're funding all of the programs that the city has put in place that are largely ineffective, and that we're not getting the support that we need to operate our business. I'm in a very competitive market out here.
Yeah.
And we're a local business. We've been serving the community for 18 years out here, and this is how we get treated.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Okay, let's talk specifically about what happened Wednesday morning. So, as you said, these guys had allegedly robbed a Safeway store. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, so they're fleeing from that, and they lose control of the RV. And describe in a little more detail what happened that led them to crash into your building.
Yeah, they lost. There's a large, steep hill that's behind our club, and they came barreling down that hill out of control, tried to make a 90-degree turn, lost control of the vehicle, and plowed right into the back of our building. The RV that they were driving penetrated the back wall, almost went completely through the wall and into the pool. And in the process of doing that, they ruptured a gas main, and that's what started the fire that caused all the damage in our pool area and our equipment room.
And I'm very sorry for what's happened to your building and for your losses, but I also think, what if they'd lost control and plowed into a mom and dad and their three kids? Because, I mean, you have an RV that size, you're going to kill a family of five out on our roads. And this is the imminent threat that our public officials are ignoring right now. I mean, somebody is going to, there is going to be some tragic deaths. We've had rapes because of this problem. We've had physical assaults and attempted rapes because of this. We're going to have families wiped out if they keep allowing this. It is just unbelievable that they keep letting this happen, Dan.
Well, I've told everybody the story. What's it going to take? Are we going to wait until somebody is murdered or killed by one of these RVs before we take action? And if so, the blood of that victim is on the mayor's office and the city council's hands.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. And what has happened with crime and just the blight in our city is already on their hands, but they don't care. They have an agenda. They want to use this homelessness issue to raise taxes and get more money so that they can feed money to, as you said earlier in our conversation, not just largely ineffective programs, but look around the city. They are totally ineffective programs, and we're just attracting the dregs of the nation to our region because of our policies around here. They're coming from all around the country to come and take advantage of the no enforcement Seattle. So, go ahead.
Dory, 2 days ago, two days before the accident, the RV remediation team came out and did an assessment of Andover and 28th, which border our business, and they deemed it not worthy of any action. And yet a day and a half, we have an RV that's caused $300,000 worth of damage. I am flabbergasted that they don't see this as a problem, and that's the issue. What criteria are they using to make their decisions here? Obviously, we have a different set of standards.
No, they have no clue.
Every day I drive in there.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
No, they have no clue what they're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line. What time of morning was this, Dan?
Right about 1:30 a.m. Wednesday morning.
Did you get the phone call right away?
I did, yeah.
When you heard it was an RV, and don't make me bleep you, but what was your reaction when you heard it was an RV?
Well, I'm sorry, but you would have to bleep me. But yeah, I was not happy. Let's just say that.
Oh, man. I my heart just goes out to all of you business owners. There's going to be a house cleaning of city council next year. The only fear, of course, is that there will be more whack jobs in their place, because that's what Seattle tends to do. But yeah, Mike O'Brien, Kshama Sawant, Teresa Mascara, I mean, every one of them is responsible for this. And I'm really sorry for business owners like you, Dan, because I know how tough it is out there.
Well, I appreciate that, Dory.
All right. We'll keep getting the word out, and maybe someday we'll come back to our senses in our city.
Amen.
Okay. Dan Lehr with West Seattle Health Club. Dan, good talk to you. Appreciate it, sir.
Thank you.
Love to hear your thoughts. You can text me, the Online Trading Academy text line at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. I don't care how you feel about the President of the United States, but one thing that his supporters certainly acknowledge, and I think his detractors would have to acknowledge this too, he works his tail off to try to achieve his goals. And right now, he wants to, you know, the long shot of holding on to the House and the likelihood, but he doesn't want to take anything for granted, that they hold on to, maybe even expand their lead in the Senate. And he's been he's doing rallies almost every night. Now, granted, flying on Air Force One, I imagine, is a pretty cushy way to travel. But it's still, to go up and stand in front of a crowd every single night, and that's where he just out-hustled Hillary. when she wouldn't go to Wisconsin. I got Wisconsin locked up. That's my new Hillary impression. I'm just trotting it out for the first time. Does that sound just like her? I'm like the Rich Little of Seattle radio.
I got Wisconsin locked up.
So, but Trump's just tireless as he travels around the country. So he had a rally last night in Montana where they're trying to make sure the Republican wins the Senate race. And that's where they had a congressman named Greg Gianforte. He's the one who body slammed a reporter for The Guardian last year.
So I was in Rome with a lot of the leaders from other countries talking about all sorts of things. And I heard about it. And we endorsed Greg very early, but I had heard that he body slammed a reporter. And he was way up. And he was way up. And I said, oh, this was like the day of the election or just before. And I said, oh, this is terrible. He's going to lose the election. Then I said, well, wait a minute. I know Montana pretty well. I think it might help him. And it did.
Look, I will acknowledge that's pretty bizarre to hear a huge crowd cheer for a reporter having been body slammed. But then I look on Twitter. Trump's reached a new low right after Saudi Arabia killed that Washington Post reporter. Man, shut up. There's no connection there. He's just trying to play to his crowd. And then who's he going to run against in 2020? Joe Biden would be considered a front runner if he jumped in the race.
I'll go over a couple of more names, but no, I won't. How about Sleepy Joe Biden? Sleepy Joe. Remember, he challenged me to a fight, and that was fine. And when I said he wouldn't last long, he'd be down faster than Greg would take him down. He'd be down so fast. Remember?
Yeah, Biden said he'd like to take the president out behind the building and fight him. So it's just so stupid. It's just all ridiculous. How about Elizabeth Warren if she runs?
But the only good thing she did, I think she probably disqualified because she made a fool out of herself. But I think the only good thing she did, I can't call her Pocahontas anymore. Right? I came up with the name Pocahontas, and they once said, you must apologize for that. I said, why? Well, it's not nice what you're doing. I said, okay, I'd like to apologize to the real Pocahontas. But not to the fake Pocahontas.
And he went on about Elizabeth Warren.
You know, the one good thing about her test is that there was so little. She had less than the average American. I used to say, I have more Indian blood in me than she does, and I have none. I used to say.
So the crowd's just eating that up. And then he was talking, and a woman yelled out to him.
You know, that to me makes a lot of sense. Wise guys, the Democrats have turned. I love you too. Who said that? Who said that? Who said that? It's finally a woman. You know, I get it from the men all the time. And so far, every guy that said I love you, they're just not my type. I finally heard it from a woman. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States of America. I do find him entertaining. And I like our economy. But he's got to bring the deficit down. I've said it a million times. He's going to lose me if he doesn't get that deficit down. Fast 15 is coming up next.